Father God, which art in heaven, we give you thanks that you are a personal and personable God. We thank you that you want to show up in our experiences and you want to interact with us in a direct and personal way. And we thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit whom you have given to us here on earth as a power behind our ministry and the power behind our Christian experience and our Christian lives. And we pray, Lord, that while the enemy might want to bring some stuff in between us and you, that you have given us the power to overcome. To this end, we ask that you'll take us now into the remaining portions of this service. May you forgive us of all our sins, and may you grant us an audience with the Almighty. Because indeed, Lord, you are more so very happy and longing to hear from us. Give us now a worship experience, and give us of your Spirit so that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I won't be keeping you long today. Never mind the book. It is just it's just my way of getting together my notes that I want to talk to you today on the topic of living the convenient Christian life. My current fascination that I do in my spare time is looking at the religious history of the United Kingdom. And there's a rich religious history of individuals who have been a part of the Great Reformation right here in the United Kingdom. And there are two individuals that I looked at this week. The one is called George Muller, and he is known as the father to about 10,000 orphans in the UK in the early 1800s, starting in the city of Bristol. And George Muller mantra, stemming from his relationship and connection with God, was that God would provide all that he needed simply through George Muller's prayers. He would not advertise what he was planning to do in terms of the work that he wanted to do with the orphans that he was seeing. He would not ask any human being for anything. He would simply ask God. And he came to be known as a man of prayer. It is said that on many, many occasions, the orphans in his homes would be seated around tables without food, waiting for God to provide food for the orphans, simply on the prayers of George Muller. The next person that I'd like to bring to our attention today, and I want you to keep these two individuals in mind as we continue, is Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon was known as the people's preacher in the early 1800s. And if you visit today the Metropolitan Tabernacle in Elephant and Castle in London, you will see, well, it was actually bombed in the World War, but they have rebuilt it, but the outside of it still remains the same. And in the Charles Spurgeon came on the scene in England at a very interesting time. And it was a time in the early days of Charles Darwin, with his theory of evolution and the natural selection in the process of evolution. Now, this theory of evolution was having a significant impact on the church in England, the message of the church, and the mission of the church. It had such an impact that in the end, Charles Spurgeon had to leave the Baptist Union in England. But this is what Charles Spurgeon said to his fellow ministers in one of these sessions. He said, "Brethren, we should not adjust our Bible to the age, but before we have done with it, by God's grace, we shall adjust the age to the Bible. Our age is one in which many, both within and without the professing Church of Christ, are bending all their powers to adjust the Bible to the age. And Charles Spurgeon says, we should never adjust the Bible to the age, but we should adjust the age to the Bible. And young people, when it says age, it simply means the time. It's just old English. I want you to remember these two men as we move now into the 21st century. It is 2025, and there are many voices that are speaking, and I'd like you to listen to two voices right now. One, they are non-religious individuals. One voice is Twitter's co-founder, well, Twitter is now X, co-founder Evan Williams says, convenience decides everything. And the modern man is fixated on doing things faster, cheaper, easier, and more efficient. And maybe we can all say, okay. And Tim Wu, in his article, The Tyranny of Convenience, writes, in the developing nations of the 21st century, convenience has emerged as perhaps the most powerful force that is shaping our individual lives and our economies. We live in an instant society. The rate of our travel is almost nearing the speed of light. Communication, well, we are on 5th generation, 5G. And access to information, whether that be fake or real, spoils us with their immediacy. We get frustrated if we have to wait in long lines. Even if we have to wait at the doctor, we are frustrated with wait. And we are absolutely annoyed with delays. But here's it now. And I will confess this. I love the conveniences of modern life. And I know the things that are happening now didn't happen when I was a child. And so, I love the convenience of modern life. I absolutely love it. I love my remote control things. If it were possible, I would get a kettle and be able to turn it on remotely so that as soon as I step through the doors, I can get a copper. Or ideally, one day very soon, I might be able to even power up my humanoid robot from my car so that humanoid robot will meet me with my remote-powered kettle and would have made me a cup of tea and handed it to me at the door. I love my AI-enabled smartphone. I'm not seeing her. Auntie Valda, I can ask a Google anything and get an answer. Or how about Alexa or any of the other AI-enabled smartphones? Or better yet, as my daughter would say, I'm a young old person. I can get Amazon Echo Silver, and for those senior years, and Amazon Echo Silver responds to any name, Alexa, Madessa, Odessa, it will respond. So even if you're losing your memory and you can't remember Alexa, it will respond to anything. I love connecting with my families and friends via video-enabled HD calls on WhatsApp. And if I have the latest phone, I am in HD, high-definition quality pictures, on Zoom, Instagram. And if you really don't like talking, my young people, then there are chat functionalities which are included even on TikTok and Snapchat. But never mind for me the 8 to 9 hour difference between my linking up with families and the impact that it has on my sleep. Never mind that. It's a relatively low cost to pay for the conveniences of modern life. And what more can I say about the health-enabled devices? A watch that tells me my blood pressure, my heart rate, how many steps I have taken, how long I have slept, whether I am in light sleep or in REM sleep, it doesn't matter. And let me tell you something, the fairy tale is no longer a fairy tale of mirror, mirror on the wall, because there are now smart mirrors which can tell you, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the healthiest of them all? It can diagnose my health condition, such as heart disease, determine my propensity to onset of strokes, among all other health-related checks. But it just cannot keep me healthy. It cannot. It can tell me, but it can't. But how about the traffic? I just hate the traffic. Never mind the ULEZ charge, but I just hate the traffic. Flight-enabled car. If you're stuck in traffic, enable flight mode and you're off. Could not go without mentioning Google Maps or, what's the next one? Waze. I don't know how to read a paper map. I would be lost. Sorry, I can barely just navigate the tube map. So unfortunately, Preston for me would not be possible. Sorry, Gabrielle, if you're watching. I wouldn't be able to get there. Then there is the rise of artificial intelligence. Daniel, I could have asked ChatGPT. I could have asked ChatGPT to compose this message today, but it might not be theologically sound. But it could work. All right, I'm going to move on. But how could I forget? Air fryers. And no thank you for the single zone one. The dual zone is the only one that is going to do for dinner, which is going to avoid me standing by the stove to cook dinner, therefore freeing up my time for me to bring out the desire of ages and read the next chapter that will be discussed at Wednesday night prayer meeting. Most importantly, without which none of the above things are possible, the most convenient thing is the debit card. The debit card that allows us to swipe and tap. And do you know that the limit has now gone to £100, so you just don't need to do anything, tap. And maybe, just maybe, sometimes we might even go for funds that we don't have in the credit card. Thank you, Sister Linda, for reminding me of my dilemma. And Elder Richard, indeed, the church is missing out on not having the capability for individuals to tap their cards and give a contribution contactlessly from available funds. And never mind, we will also accept funds from the overdraft facilities. Before moving on, I want you to understand something that I'm going to say now as I go a little deeper into this convenience of modern Christian and the impact that it is having on our Christian experience and our Christian walk. I am in no way anti-modern convenience. I am in no way promoting an anti-technology approach to life, and I am in no way promoting an anti-AI approach to our modern experiences and the modern life that we're currently living. But I am truly and sincerely anti anything, and I mean anything, nothing, the song says, between my soul and the Savior, nothing, not of this world's delusive dreams, nothing. I am anti anything that gets in the way of a direct, personal connection with God, the distractions of modern conveniences. I am anti all of that. The problem, therefore, for us as Christian disciples is that our instant society is producing Christianity of convenience. We follow Jesus on our own terms. Sabbath starts when I am done shopping at Asda or Tesco's. It is surely enough that God understands I can only be at church on the Sabbath for midday service and possibly late. Sabbath school, Bible class, AY, are actually optional things. The holy hours of the Sabbath remains to be felt in our lives from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday evening. Stewardship begins when I have had enough for my own needs. And meeting the needs of others only occurs when my own needs are met first. We fit Jesus neatly in our calendars. If I can make the service, if I can participate in the outreach, if I can find time to do a visit, if my work schedule permits, if my school works and exams and studies permits, if I can only utter a quick thank you in the morning and at night because of my busy schedule. We're becoming a people of convenience. Make your faith work for you. When Christianity gets hard or makes unpleasant demands of us, find an easier way around it. In truth, my entire Christian values, beliefs, including the Holy Sabbath and everything else, are expendable on the altar of my availability and all my other activities and events. Christianity of convenience. Send a devotional thought or prayer to someone else instead of a personal witness of what God has done for you. And how about this? Listen to the word of God on the go when you're doing something instead of having a time set aside for personal worship, Bible reading, and study. What so many of us calls devotion is just a reference to a Bible verse that pops up on our smartphones, and we're supposed to read that, and it will give us a cute little story about it. That spiritual snack will not do to build a stronger Christian. Religious materials at our fingertips. Audio Bible. And if you want a little bit more dramatized Bible. And yet, we do not know the person of Jesus Christ himself. What caliber of Christian are we producing both in our own lives and in the lives of those whom we seek to influence. Very few of us, and I include myself in that, feed ourselves on things that will not make for a strong Christian. Very few feed themselves with the only thing that will open their eyes and change their lives: the reading of the Word of God, the study of the Word of God, and prayer. And I struggled this week with this message because I think that from the start of the year, we've been getting some challenging messages. And even this morning, I was struggling with it. But I'm going to press on because I think that it is important for us to understand the world in which we're living in and the impact that this world is actually having on us as Christian and the finishing of the gospel in all the world. Convenience, then, is the pursuit of ease. It has become the enemy's battle cry. And might I say, not a cry, because it's not very loud. It's more like a whisper. And it's the enemy's whisper in our ears in the war for our modern souls. Satan's strategy has changed from a direct opposition to subtle enticement. We are enticed, the brain drain. And I don't have time to go into all the research and the science that have been done on the whole changing of one's brain by the things that we are now exposed to. But there's a brain drain that our modern convenience has created on us, where our capacity, our mental capacity for spiritual things are being dulled. Our mental capacity. TikTok, 30 seconds or less video. Facebook shorts, Instagram shorts have effectively rewired our brain pathways to desire nothing longer than 30 seconds. And nothing that will allow our brains to think or even to interact with it. The psalmist pleads with us from the Bible. In Psalms 101 and verse 3, he says, "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." And all of these things are worthless. They are of no value, but they are changing your brain and my brain. They are changing your brain and your mind, which are the center of intellect and understanding, and also the center of worship. And so, like what was said in Junior Sabbath School this morning, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think," use your mind and think on these things. It is the mind that we worship God. Therefore, if our minds are conditioned, molded, rewired, changed, what then is becoming of our worship and our relationship with God? It is through worship we get to truly get to know God and the deep and secret things of God. Perhaps then our problem in our Christian experience stares back at us once we hold within our hands those handheld devices. And by the way, it is said that we interact with our mobile phones and our devices at least 2,000 times per day, and for very heavy users, 5,000 times per day. But our contemporary problem has never been convenience, just as the problem in Eden has never been the fruit. It is what our hearts, when our heart falls in love with convenience, the call of Jesus to shoulder the cross will feel very foreign. In every way, the dark appeal, therefore, of the temptations of modern convenience is towards attachment. We're attached to our devices. If we're coming out the house and we leave it, we would rather be late because we're going to turn back and get it. And I have personal experience about attachment with a device that is being removed. Our attachment, the distraction that it brings, those constant notifications, those constant ping, it is as if it is calling us, beckoning us to say something. Let me say something to you. Those notifications are not that important, because even if President Trump is coming to the United Kingdom, the only notification that is important is the second coming of Christ. And that will not be via a ping. It will be global. It will be audible. And it will be visible. We will see. We will hear. We will know. Nobody needs to notify us of that. And that is the reason why I wish I could be like Uncle Alan. Leave my phone in the car and come and spend this time with the Lord. Our modern conveniences are making of us modern idols and are allowing us to forsake our relationship with Jesus. And therefore, what modern conveniences have done is that it has stepped right in front of God and he's stealing his worship and our desire to delight ourselves in the Lord. Thank you, Dennis, for reading that passage of scripture, which was indeed read from a modern device. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of the Lord, of thine heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And unfortunately, I did not say anything to my husband or my daughter this week about the message. And last night in worship, that this is the same passage that was picked up and was being looked at. Psalms 37. And here's the point I'd like to make to you today. Thy judgment as the noonday. Our minds need to be clear. Our intellect need to be heightened. And the clarity of our thoughts need to be pure, such that our decisions and our decision making in this modern time that we're living in will be as bright as the noonday, as David said it would. A lot of us don't want to commit to God, for we think that in committing to God, it will demand too much of us. But here's a quote from Sister White. She says, "We are never called upon to make any real sacrifices for God." Now listen closely. "Many things he asks us to yield to him, but in doing this, we are but giving up that which hindered us in the heavenward way. Even when called upon to surrender those things which in themselves are good, we may be sure that God is thus working out for us some higher good. In the future life, the mysteries that have annoyed and disappointed us will be made plain. We shall see that our seemingly unanswered prayers and disappointed hopes have been among our greatest blessings." the body of Christ, and I'm just about closing. The body of Christ, that means you and me, we are the most powerful force on this planet. I'm going to say that again. The body of Christ, you and I, are the most powerful force on this planet. But there are some stuff. There are some stuff that is in the way of our direct connection to God and the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. For when we are properly connected through the abiding presence and the person of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, the holy dunamis, when that lives within us, we can be an unstoppable vessel for good for God. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. And we should be so bold as not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We live in a world of deep darkness. Deep, deep darkness, much deeper than we think. I was just listening to something just in this week, and it was saying that people are no longer believing. The percentage of people saying that they don't believe in God is still rising. But there's an interesting percentage that is now rising as well. And that is the percentage of people believing that there is no evil, that there is no devil. What will that do? That is deeper. That is deep darkness. When the concept of evil does not even exist, we are living in a time of deep darkness. But there is the need for witnesses. There's a need for individuals who have had an experience with God. There's a need for disciples who know God and possess this power. We cannot afford, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, we cannot afford to not have the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit in our experience. Too much is at stake. Too much is at stake, both for our own lives, our own salvation, and the salvation of others. I will have to potentially come back again to discuss some other issues in this message. But I want to tell us today that there are some dangers that are actually out there. There are some dangers. But God has not left us in the dark, because he's given us experiences that we can tap into. Remember Lot's wife. Mrs. Lot wanted the modern experiences of where she was living in the city, in a house with a door that could be shut rather than in tents. Those are modern experiences. There's much danger that we face spiritually, mentally, physically. But we'll need another time, Elder Richard, to discuss those. But I want us to say as I close today, that we are being changed. We have given technology, modern conveniences, the power to shape and to change and to fashion us and to remake us into its image. And the spiritual implication of it is that today the screens and our conveniences stands between the Creator and us. As screen time exceeds FaceTime with God, we're losing the inherent richness and the fullness of immediate and direct contact with God. We have been created with an innate desire for unmediated contact and communication with God. And Hebrews says that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find help in times of our needs. like to tell us that the best mental food for the brain is the Word of God. Because, and this is something, this is not just a faith thing now, it's something that's been proven scientifically by test of how the brain responds to the Word of God. The brain, the Word of God, increases the electrical power of the mind. It's not just a faith thing, something that is tangible, that can be proven. The Word of God increases the electrical power of the mind. It allows you to learn anything else if you learn about God first. And I say that again. It will allow you to learn anything else, even quantum physics, if you learn about God himself first. Prove God today. Begin and see if your relationship and connection with God will change. Delight yourself in the Lord. The appeal today is simply this: reversal of that which the digital media, the social media, the conveniences of this life has done, has negatively affected us from, can be healed through worship. We can be healed. We can heal our bodies from all the negative things that are affecting us in this modern, technologically charged environment that we're living us. We can be healed. Our minds can be healed. Our connection to God can be healed. And our thoughts of the coming kingdom can be healed. So the watchword for today and the appeal for today is simply this: reversal. We can reverse it. We can reverse it. God has given us, as a remnant people of God, a powerful message to tell to the world, that the hour of God's judgment has come. And what are we to do in that hour? And Revelation says it, and it says two things. I want you to remember this. It says we are to proclaim the message. But it didn't just say we are to proclaim it. It says we are to worship God. And those two things come together. We are to proclaim the message, but we are to worship God, because it is in the mind that we worship God. And when we come into a proper relationship with God, we can proclaim the message. When we come into a proper relationship with food, Sister Mary, our minds will be clear, because food is a stimulant. When we come into a proper relationship with media and all modern conveniences, that brings us into distraction, addiction, and yes, I say that word, addiction, attachment, time wasting, we can truly worship the Creator. And only as we commit all our ways to Him can this be done. Here is the appeal for today. I trust God with everybody that is in this place here and those who are online. I trust God with you. Leave behind the distractions. Lay them aside. Every weight. Spend some undisturbed time with God. And believe me, I trust God with you. He will change you. Because by beholding, you are changed. Find, therefore, delight in God. The life of the believer is to delight in God. Delight thyself in Jehovah, in his very existence. Delight in God's dominion, because the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Jehovah is king. Delight thyself that God is mighty in the face of our weaknesses, that God is unchanging and unchangeable, full and overflowing with grace. Delight thyself. Delight thyself in what God has done in the past and what he's doing today and what he will do tomorrow. Delight thyself in all the glories of the latter day, in all the splendors of his throne, when all the host of God shall meet at the last, in his triumph over death and hell, and the ultimate victory over sin, when he shall make the whole earth to become filled with his glory and with his praise. Delight thyself that God's covenant with us is to cleanse us, to keep us from falling, to sanctify us, to perfect us in him, to bring us to glory. Lose yourself in the greatness of God. Let his attributes cover over all your weaknesses and your follies and everything else, and rejoice in him. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in God, that he is God the Father, in his eternal love for you. When there was nothing in any of us to love, he loved us. Delight thyself in his saving of your soul, in his justification for you and for me, in the person of Jesus Christ, whom he gave his only begotten Son to redeem us and bring us so sweet salvation. Delight thyself in Jesus. Know the secret of the Lord. Spend time with him. Get to know him. And a promise priceless beyond all rubies, priceless beyond all rubies on this earth, the promise that he says, he will give thee the desires of thy heart. I trust God with you today. I trust God with me. Put myself, I'm asking you to put yourself in the Word of God and give him your full surrender. And here's the thing. See what God will do.